Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Yeah. All right, guys, we are here with Kate Casey, the host of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hey, Kate.
How are you? It's a glorious day, and it's a glorious day to talk about television.
It is such a glorious day. So you are obviously obsessed with reality television. That is what your podcast is about. So tell our listeners a little bit about what you talk about on your show.
Okay, so I consider myself like an idiot savant when it comes to reality television. I've working knowledge of almost every reality television show on any television channel any given day. It's not something that I'm necessarily pumped to put on my LinkedIn profile, but it's just like something that I have, like a photographic memory. So it's not even just television shows. Like if I meet somebody and they tell me something, I never forget it. So it's almost like a curse, because if I meet somebody and then I see them 5 years later, I'm asking, well, how was that ankle surgery that you got? And are you still with Bobby Joe? And your friend had the baby. Did she name her Lucy? And people look at me like I'm nuts. It's just, I store useless information. And it's been like that my whole life. And now I finally have a place for it to be put to use. And that is for talking about reality television shows and interviewing people. So in my show, which is now up to 2 times a week now, I am interviewing everyone from a reality star to a producer or a director of unscripted TV and film. So 1 week it could be somebody from The Real Housewives or Below Deck or The Bachelor or Deadliest Catch or the director of Leaving Neverland on HBO, Netflix documentary. So it's something every week. And I think that the takeaway from every episode is you might listen to somebody who's on a show and learn more about their life, but also learn about something that you might want to start watching.
Right. That's awesome. So you talk to literally the breadth of everyone that you could kind of interact with in the reality show space and then beyond as well, which is amazing. You're also an author, comedian, and a mom. How many kids do you have?
I have 5 kids under 10.
Woo! So you are like the Bronwyn, basically.
Well, actually, Bronwyn is my friend. She's like my real life friend.
Oh my God. Okay. So do the kids play?
Yes. In fact, you might see me in the episode this season of the kid. Her twins have a birthday party.
Oh,
and you might see me in the background and my kids in the background.
Oh my God,
she's my like real life friend.
Oh, that's so cool. I absolutely love Bronwyn and I am so excited that she joined the cast. So is there any, maybe just like a little friendly tea you can spill on Bronwyn?
Well, you know, I always say to her, it's weird for me because you are exactly on television as you are in real life. And she's like, well, isn't that the point? I said, I don't think so, because sometimes they interview people and I feel like, or I meet them in person and I feel like they're a little bit different, you know, like maybe in person they're a little bit quieter or maybe they're more boisterous. Like watching her on TV is like, I feel like she's in my house. That's
right.
Exactly the way she is. I would say her total focus on life is her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she has, you have to remember, like this is her first real job because she had a child when she was like 19.
Right.
So she's just been a full-time mom forever. And so this is a really exciting new chapter in her life. And the excitement that you guys see is because, and I think a lot of women relate to this, is like this very exciting second chapter in her life. And it's also a chapter where she is the focus of it. I mean, she has really been tireless for years and years and years being a parent to her children. And now she's like getting to be the kind of the center of attention and get and have fun. You know,
yeah.
Like when I see her, she's driving her minivan and she's got her hair in a ponytail and she just drops somebody off. Like that is the person that I know. So it's fun to see her get to go on trips. But I'm telling you, she is exactly on TV as she is. Like if she pulled over into your house in the driveway, she's just as she would seem on TV.
Right. Okay. 2 follow-up questions before we get into what we're really talking about today. The first is, you've met Dr. Deb then in that case.
I did. Yeah.
And is she exactly like she is on the show?
Well, she looks the same as she does on TV. I feel like it's really hard for me to watch those scenes because I relate to having a difficult, like a complicated relationship with my mom. And I think that that's why Bronwyn and I are friends, because that we have a lot in common. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that she and I both have large families. Because when you have your own family, you can kind of set your own boundaries and really create this loving space that perhaps you didn't have as a child. And I think that she is healing a lot of her childhood wounds by giving her kids a childhood that she did not have.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. My second question is, have you been to the love shack that Bronwyn and her husband have?
Gross. No, I
You're
have not.
like,
And
I
if I
don't
were
want to
there,
go.
I would be making jokes about it. I'd be like in their bedroom, like, is this where, like, can we, if we use a black light, what would we find on the floor and the bed and the sheets? No, I have not. But she did tell me once, I was like, this was way, this is before she even filmed. I said, this love shack, let's be honest, like, are you having a lot of sex in that? And she said, no, sometimes we actually go with the intention to hang out, but we end up eating pizza and falling asleep. So she's like a normal person who like wants in theory to get it on, but then you get tired at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, who can blame her? I mean, seven kids, that's like, whoof, that's a lot. So
Yeah, it's
today.
but remember her older kids, they have their own lives now. So when you guys think of seven, yes, but it's really almost like four, because the four little ones are home all the time, but the big kids, like, they are at that age now where they have their own lives and friends, and
That's
the
true.
last place they want to be is at home.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So it's not like there's like seven all at once, like there on top of her, you know? It's spread out.
Yeah.
All
Yes.
right, cool. So today we wanted to have you on because you're a huge fan of Real Housewives of Dallas. I'm a huge fan of Real Housewives of Dallas. So we were going to do kind of a deep dive into what's been going on this season and sort of tracing it back to, you know, previous seasons and just kind of where everybody is today. So I think one of the biggest storylines that we've seen over the course of the last couple of seasons is obviously Deandra and her mom. So in terms of where we are this season, she's finally got the company from her mom, but Mama D handed it over in kind of rough shape. So what did you think of that exchange?
Okay, well, first, that's an actually, this is so bizarre, but she's my actual real life friend too.
We're just talking about all your friends today.
Well, it's not like I'm friends with all these people, but she's actually one of my real, I have like a couple that are like my real life friends. And so what you're seeing on television is Deandra's real life. She has really had a complicated relationship with her mom too. Again, this feels like therapy, but that's probably why I gravitate towards Deandra and Bronwyn. Because of the fact that it's just so complicated. So I think the trouble is, number one, she's an only child. And sometimes, I'm not saying all cases, but I feel like there's so much pressure on an only child to fulfill everything that the parent wants to achieve. And sometimes you transfer your own hopes and dreams. And so they have this like tug of war all the time. So basically, Deandra graduates from an all women's school. She went to DC and she wanted to work and live there. She was working for the Department of Energy and had all the intention to live there, to get married and live there. And I don't know, maybe even run for office one day or work as a chief of staff. And her mom called her and convinced her that she needed help with the business. So she moved. And it was a really difficult decision for her to make because it's like she wanted a separate sort of life. But her mom made it seem like, I really need you home now so that this business can really be sustained. So she moves back to Dallas, and immediately when she gets there, she realizes that it's not really what was sold to her. So this has been going on for years, where she every so months she would think, okay, well, I'm going to get some access to the business, and then it was like a tug and pull all the time. So unfortunately, like I'm the kind of person that would say, can you her get off the pot? Like, you've got to tell her, like, I'm yanking the chain, like I'm out. But I think because it's a family business, it's a lot more complicated than what it seems. Like, I never have worked for a family member, nor would I ever want to.
Right.
So I think that a lot of people who are viewers that work with their family relate to how difficult it is to walk away from a business. So this has just been going on so long, and I just feel like she's so beaten down. And I have to say, like, of all the seasons so far, I feel like this is the truest Deandra that you're seeing right now. Like, this is who she is. She's like a quiet, she's actually pretty quiet,
mm-hmm.
and serious. And I think that you're seeing just how tired she is. She can't even fight with Leanne in scenes anymore because she's like, this is just not, I don't have the bandwidth to really fight with Leanne because this business stuff is so overwhelming. So the net-net is she was finally given the opportunity to take over the business, found out that there was almost no money in the business, and felt overwhelmed and massively overwhelmed while they were filming with the responsibility of bringing this business from the brink.
Which, that's totally understandable. And so I think what's crazy is, from the viewer's perspective, you know, Deandra has been working really hard to take over this business, and we know that that's, you know, it's been positioned as almost a dream of hers. So it's interesting for you to say that it was kind of more of Mama D saying, you know what, this is what you're destined to be. Like, this is what, you know, I need from you. Because, like you said, complicated relationships with parents, especially when there's the layer of a family business there that kind of is responsible for perhaps Deandra's livelihood in a lot of ways. There's a lot of layers there. So it's interesting to think that, you know, Mama D handed it over in the condition that she did. Like, do you think that, I don't know, was that a shady move by Mama D, or was it sort of like...
I think it's pretty dark. I think part of it intertwined here is that she's a very prideful Southern woman.
Yeah.
And she does not want to admit to anyone, let alone her daughter, that perhaps she didn't have the best interest of the business in mind. She had this business and she's selling it on like a Christian broadcasting network
right.
years ago. Well, that business model does not work in the year 2019. And so you have two women who already have this complicated relationship at loggerheads because you have the new thinking versus the old thinking. So Deandra, you know, was always talking to her about, we need new products. Remember that she had the K9 or whatever.
Yeah.
She's like, we need new products. We need new graphics, new packaging, social media, all these things. And that is way over Mama D's head.
Right.
She cannot understand that. Remember when cameras went into their office, she still had one of those big box TVs with VHS tapes.
Right.
She still wears like pantsuits with turtlenecks. Like, she has a totally different thinking. And so they were always arguing about that. So I think that that's what you're seeing. And I mean, the relationship is really strange. It's really hard to watch as an outsider. So imagine what it's like to be in their like their inner circle and to see it all the time. Because in the end, I think all women kind of want the adoration of their parent. Mm-hmm. They want them to be proud. They want them to be, to be loving. And I think that their relationship is so splintered at this point that the focus really, I think this season, what it seems to be on is just how relatable her relationship is with her mother.
Yeah.
I mean, because the stuff that she fights about with Leanne is pretty silly. I mean, it's really tit for tat. And I do believe at the core, there's a real friendship there and they can always go back to it. But I just think there, as I said before, she doesn't have any more bandwidth because this relationship with her mother and the business, the problems with it are so overwhelming at this point that she can't really, like, she's like trying to keep her head above water.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think a lot of people who run a business nowadays can probably also relate to that, separate from the, you know, issue with her mom and the parenting aspect to it. You know, there's a lot of difficulties in today's economy and launching a business and keeping a business above water. So even from that perspective, I feel like there's a lot of people who can relate. And then it's crazy too, because you see a little bit on the opposite end of it, someone like Stephanie's husband, Travis, and you learn, you know, we learn this season that he's grown his business to like $75 million in sales over the last 6 years or something like that. So you're like, oh my God, like, it's two kind of extremes. Obviously, they're in
yeah,
probably
but you
different
know what?
Businesses.
Travis are also you know, he was handed a business that he had to turn around too. So that
right.
would have been like, they had a little bit of conversation about that. I don't know how it turns out, but I would love to see some sort of crossover, because Travis can relate to the difficulty in working with your own family. Listen, it's probably pretty hard for him to turn around and say to his parents, I really respect the business that you've built. However, you know, I have a new way of thinking. We have social media now. The economy is different. Like, I need to turn this business around. And I'm sure that was pretty painful for his father to hear that, like, I respect what you've done, but I'm going to kick this up a gear. I mean,
totally.
That's probably pretty hard. So I would love to see Travis and Deandra start a business and, like, go global. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't you just want to high-five a wall?
Totally. But we do see Deandra misses a meeting with Travis, and Travis is not pleased about it. So they get off to a
bit
of a rocky...
Well, I would be pissed, too.
Right, exactly.
I'd be pissed, too.
Yeah, so
I feel
think...
like, you know, my time is worth something. Why would you miss the meeting? Yeah, I'd be furious, too.
Absolutely. And, of course, he finds out that the reason was that she went to get her hair done. It didn't come out the color that she wanted. So it comes across a little bit of like, oh, is she really taking this seriously? But she definitely, she owns it. She calls him. She apologizes. You know, he's still a little annoyed by it, understandably so, like you said. But hopefully the two of them can, you know, work past that. And then Deandra can kind of use him as a resource, because obviously he knows what he's doing.
Wow, there's so many, that's a lot to unpack, isn't it?
It
because
truly is.
maybe that she's going to look at this and go, holy shit, you know, maybe she just was so beaten down by her mom so much, she's like, I give up even trying, that she's still in that headspace.
I
so
know.
Maybe it's good to have somebody who's like really built a substantial business and say, okay, like, cut the shit, right?
Right.
Like, let's get down to it and let's build something substantial here.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about Leanne, and especially, you know, just kind of the references you've made to her relationship with Deandra. And I thought it was interesting that you said there is a friendship there that maintains even through all of this tension that they have, because I actually interviewed Leanne, and, you know, I said to her, I was like, it's almost like you guys are sisters, because I, you know, my mom has two sisters, and I see the way that they disagree and the way that they can fight, but at the end of the day, there is a bond there, there is some love there, and I feel like we see the same thing with Leanne and Deandra, but they keep kind of taking, at least maybe more so Leanne, keeps taking these sort of digs at Deandra that kind of prevents their friendship from moving forward. So it must be really interesting too for you as someone who is friends with Deandra to see her go through that with someone like Leanne.
Yeah, but I always kind of like, you know, I think that people who get in arguments like that, it's because they know where each other's bodies are buried.
Right.
They know so much information about each other that when one person gives another a jab, it's way more painful than, you know, Mary Sue off the street.
Absolutely.
And, but so I feel like the way that they can become so angry at one another, I think they're also capable of going on the other end of the spectrum and supporting one another. I think what it really comes down to is that they need something that's catastrophic outside of their relationship to remind them how important their relationship is to one another.
Yeah.
So, you know, God forbid there was like a health crisis or, you know, like I said, in Deandra's case, like finding out their business is basically depleted of funds, that really kind of puts into perspective, you know, what's important in life and the relationships that you have. And when you have somebody that's that close of a friend and you know so much about one another, I always think there's a chance for you to rebuild your relationship. I just
Definitely.
Think that sometimes when friends go on television shows together, they lose the perspective for like they lose their way for a little bit. And I think you saw that with Stephanie and Brandy.
So
they were
true.
Really tight. And then you get on the show and your whole life shifts around. I mean, all of a sudden people know who you are. They know where you live. They're talking about, you know, your MLS listing, where your kids go to school, the kind of marriage you have.
Right.
And it would be abnormal if someone didn't have some shift in their relationships or kind of take a minute to, you know, like stop their head from spinning.
Yeah.
So I think it took like a year for them to sort of get acclimated to being, you know, having this public persona.
Yeah.
And so I think that Deandra and Leanne will end up realizing that their friendship really is way more important than any television show could ever be. And I'm just confident that they'll work it out.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting too, your point of being on a reality show together, because I think what we've seen a lot of times with the housewives, especially when they come back for the reunions, because there's such a gap in time from when they finish filming to when they shoot the reunion. And then in that time, the episodes are airing and the women are seeing the other women's confessionals for the first time. So they're learning more
Yeah.
information about what they think about each other, and they're seeing shade that they didn't know was thrown when it was thrown. So that adds another layer too, because when you watch something back, you might see a scene that you hadn't before. You might hear something in an interview that you didn't know that they said. So then when the reunion comes around, they're like, as much as they maybe have rebuilt something from the time they finished filming, I think the reunion and the end of a season kind of brings all of that back to light and could, cause a little bit more issues.
Well, but I also think that the longer these seasons go on, the better they will become at managing that frustration and that bitterness or anger. Like, I think the Real Housewives of New York is a perfect example. I mean, they let things just roll off their back. They're like,
Right.
that was 6 months ago. Even if somebody said something shitty to me 20 minutes ago, like, it's not that important. And I
Yeah.
think that the girls in Dallas are getting much better at that. I mean, you can see how Brandy and Leanne, they said, oh, we met at a mutual friend's baby shower, which obviously was Andy Cohen's,
Right.
which
We
is
talked about
hilarious.
that on the
But they're like,
podcast.
yeah, I mean, we had fun and we kind of got over it. I think that they're becoming much better at having thicker skin. And when they have thicker skin, the show becomes even more enjoyable. And that's why I think that when you see episode, it's hard for people to kind of get dialed in when there's a new Housewife franchise. It takes like a couple seasons, and it's because the women just get better at being a part of an ensemble television show, and they
Right.
don't let things bother them as much. It's really hard to watch when everyone is really sensitive, and you know, or maybe it's just my like the mothering part of me, or like the you know female part of me, where I watch women who are in like their first or second season, and I can see that something's really, they're really sensitive to an issue, and then I just want to reach my arms to the TV and hug them, and it's
Right.
hard for me to watch. It's much easier for me to watch 6 seasons in where they're like, your husband's a real asshole, and the person, you know, is like, yeah, you're right. They let things roll off. It's much more fun to watch.
Yeah. In terms of your mothering, I want to talk a little bit about Brandy and sort of the backlash she's been receiving this season with her relationship with her daughter, Brooklyn. So I'm sure as a mom, you can relate to this. And how do you think Brandy's coping with it? And what advice would you give her, especially being so public with it and it's on TV and then there's social media, which adds this horrific layer for so many people of
Right.
complications. So, what advice would you give Brandy in this situation?
Well, first of all, if you're listening to this and you're one of those horrible people that have written something terrible about a 10-year-old anywhere, you need to just take a long look at the mirror and ask yourself where it all went wrong. You're a
Right.
terrible person.
Yeah.
That is absolutely unconscionable. And anyone who has children should, we should all have that same shared value system that you do not go after children. It's irresponsible. It's horrible. So that's the first thing.
Yeah.
I suspect that Brooklyn would probably be a great kid actor, right? She's got a big personality,
Totally.
and I think that what you're seeing on TV is like she loves the camera and she's having a great time and she's in the safety net of being around her mother. They have obviously have a very close relationship. It sounds like she's similar to her own mother. Like they're all like between Brandy's mother, Brandy and her daughter, they have very similar personalities. Do I think Brandy is a terrible mother? Absolutely not. I think that she is probably can see that her daughter it has a big personality for like television or maybe theater or something. And that's what you see in those moments. And I'm really sad that people feel the need to jump on her and to rip apart her daughter who does not deserve it. She's just being funny with her mom. It's like not that big of a deal. And I want people to remember Teresa Giudice has Melania, and we all think Melania's hilarious. So why
Right.
don't we think Brandy's daughter is hilarious? It's like it's somewhat hypocritical. They're just kids. They're kids that are being you know, it's not their choice, or maybe, you know, it wasn't their choice for their parent to be on television. But you know what? If you come down to like break it down, they're hands-on moms. They're both stay-at-home moms who are probably extremely loving. At the end of the day, those girls, Melania and Brooklyn, wake up in the morning and know their parents love and support them. And isn't that really what matters? Like, I think people get like kind of lost in the minutiae.
Absolutely. No, that's a great point. And I love hearing your perspective as a mom, because that makes a lot of sense. And I think it makes so much sense to consider, where can we repurpose this energy of Brooklyn's? Like, obviously, okay, she does love the camera. She's into this attention. She's, you know, being loud. She's making a statement. So yeah, maybe that is an opportunity to repurpose it into acting. Is that something that she wants to do? Or where else can we channel that energy and sort of be there to kind of support Brandy? Because she brings it up in one of the episodes this season, how maybe it's a little bit of jealousy over the new baby. And I feel like that's probably common. Is that something that you ever experienced with your kids?
No, because I'm so mean to them. I have so many kids, but I always say to them, like, this was one of the best pieces of parenting advice I ever got from my friend. And she said, when you introduce a new child, you always say to the older one, like in her case, if I were the mother of, you know, I'd say, you know, Brooklyn, look at the way Bruin looks at you. You're his whole world. You know, look at the way his eyes sparkle when you walk into a room. And it makes the child feel like there's less competition. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, look at Brandy. She was a cheerleader for a National Football League team. She was a dancer her whole life. Is it a stretch of the imagination to think that Brooklyn's just like her mother?
That's true.
I don't see her as being disrespectful to her mom. I just feel like she just loves to be on TV, and she likes to make people laugh in the same way Brandy likes to make people laugh. You see her in every scene. Like, the camera follows her and lights up because she has got great one-liners and she's fun to watch, and her daughter will probably be the same.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Let's talk a little bit about Stephanie, Brandy's BFF. They have a podcast together. Stephanie, I think, is what one of the users or listeners of the podcast commented on a post that we did about Stephanie, saying she was a unicorn of a housewife because she is so sweet, so sincere, so open, funny, but still entertaining. Because I feel like sometimes in this reality world, if you're too nice, you're not as likable, especially on like a Housewives franchise. So I really love that comparison of Stephanie being a unicorn. And one of the things she's been so open about in the last couple of seasons, and we're seeing it a lot more this season as well, is her mental health. So where do you think that openness comes from? Do you think being on the show has helped her with that? Do you think it's made her more of an approachable kind of person?
Well, I think that it starts with her value system. I think she was raised in a very, her family seems like they have a very strong faith, and they're from a pretty rural area, and they really relied on one another. And I think her father was maybe a pastor. And I think that she was, first of all, raised in a home where they were encouraged to be very open about their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But on the spin side of it, I think that she has also said that she's a little bit of a people pleaser. I don't think that's an environmental condition. I think you're just innately born that way. She just wants to make people happy. I mean, she was raised with a dad who people went to for counsel. And so it's her, and she actually studied to be a social worker.
Right.
So that's just innately who she is. So I think she's unusual, and I think you're going to see the same from Bronwyn, where there's somebody, and I believe Margaret Jost is similar too, where they're not cunning or manipulative. They are just who they are, and they really want the best for people. And so it is unusual to see someone like that on a television show, because we expect the people that appear on some of these shows to have an agenda. And I truly believe that these women don't have an agenda. They're just living their life day to day.
Yeah.
And I think that Stephanie's openness about her mental health is really refreshing for people to watch, because this is a really just an escape show for many people. They have really complicated lives. They want to kick back and have a glass of wine or whatever and eat some snacks and watch this at the end of the day and laugh and see someone in the cast that they kind of relate to in some small way.
Yeah.
So I think that Stephanie's bravery, her courage in being honest about, you know, sometimes I don't feel enough and I do go out of my way to make people happy, even when it doesn't, when it means stifling my own feelings, is a very relatable feeling to many women.
Yeah.
And she is the homemaker, basically. She's the, you know, she has been, well, now she's got like this full-time job as the TV personality, but she's still the person that's taking her kids to school every day and taking care of her family and the head of the home, really. So it is a very draining job. It's like having two full-time jobs. So I think that her openness is really refreshing because she's on this television show and she has this opulent life in some respects, but she's still somebody who suffers with feeling like enough. So I think that's really, I'm just grateful to her for doing that because I think we can all get stuck in the wheel of like, their lives seem perfect. She can go on any vacation she wants. She can, her husband can go out and buy her this nice bracelet, but all those things are kind of like extra when you feel like you're suffering with loneliness or, I don't know, just like just not feeling enough.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Again, I'm grateful to her, and I think she's probably helped so many people, and in fact, I'm very sure of it. And I think that they all, those housewives, could learn a lesson from her because, and I think you see this with Deandra this season too, that the quieter they get and the less they talk about the things they have and more about the person who they are, their set of values, what keeps them up at night, the more that people love them because we don't want to watch somebody perfect. We want to watch somebody who is living a full life.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I think it's so important for someone like Stephanie to talk about her depression because, like you said, oftentimes when you're looking at her, you're like, oh, she's pretty, she's blonde, she has this wonderful marriage, she has kids, she has this huge home. Like, there's all of these elements of what everyone says is happiness. That would be happiness, you know? But depression does affect so many people who are in Stephanie's position. And it's so important to remember that just having it all, quote unquote, doesn't equal inside joy, inside happiness and being okay, you know? So I think it's so important that she highlights that. And she did mention that, you know, she has had people reach out to her on social media. We had her on the podcast just a couple weeks ago. And she talked about people DMing her and saying, thank you so much for being so open about this. You know, I had been having suicidal thoughts and just hearing your story helped me go get help and talk about my issues. So it's kind of, you know, this flip side of the housewives world where it's a lot of petty bullshit and a lot of fighting over some ridiculous things. But then there is this whole other layer that really people can take home and people can really understand like, okay, I'm not the only one who feels this way. And it sort of adds this really psychological layer to what we see on TV.
Also, sometimes I feel like we all, and this is like not just on television, but in our own personal lives, sometimes you have to take a step back and go, all right, like, why did I just react to that? Why did that upset me so much? And if we took like just a deep breath and kind of thought about that, I think we would become less reactionary. I feel like a lot of housewives are so reactionary. Like they're always on the offense. And it's refreshing to see somebody who's like, okay, let me just like process this for a second.
Right, right. Well, in terms of some of the other ladies this season, we have a brand new housewife, Carrie, who replaced Carrie Duber. So far, who's your favorite Carrie?
Well, I mean, I don't feel like I really know Carrie Britt so far, so it's kind of like a difficult decision to make. I will say I'm appreciative that she said in the first episode, you know, this is my second marriage, and you know what? It's hard. We're kind of at a place where we're starting to bicker a lot, and I'm kind of navigating through that. I mean, that's kind of nice to hear. I like to see somebody who walks onto the show and says, this is where I am in my life. I feel like women, what makes us different than men, and no disrespect to you, is just that we really look for ways to connect to one another in a way that men don't.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I walk into a room with women and I can ask them questions and have conversations with them that are deeply moving and meaningful in a way that I don't think I can if I walk into a room with the men. So I love that. She's like, hey, guess what? I'm at this stage, it's really difficult, and it is what it is, and I'm going to see where it goes.
Yeah, we were talking on the podcast when we first met her too about the kind of first season curse of Housewives, where occasionally their relationships don't work out with the added attention, with the cameras, with the new layer of reality TV that would, be a part of their relationship. But I've always been arguing, in terms of Carrie in particular, that this is her second marriage. And so, as much
That's
as
totally
this,
different.
yeah,
Yep.
as much as
It's
this
that's a
might
different.
change their relationship, I think they've already, both of them, actually, it's both of their second marriages. So both of them have already kind of survived that, relationship, marriage, divorce, all of those complications. So it will be interesting to see how honestly they play out their relationship on the show, because to your point, I like that she came in very forward, very much like, here's my life, this is what it's like. That right now, my husband and I are having these difficulties because we've been together for so long, and how do we keep it fresh? So I like that maybe coming on the show for her and maybe for him is kind of a way to keep their relationship a little fresh. Like, let's see if we can survive this, because it's obviously everything's going to be out in the open now. The cameras are rolling. So I'm excited to see how their relationship plays out through the season.
I'll also say this. I feel like when you're open like that people root for you. It's the
Yeah.
opposite when you come on and the couple's like, we never fight. We have sex all the time. We are the best version of ourselves right now. I think that it's hard for people when you come on that strong, people want to knock you down because it's just hard to swallow.
Right.
Versus Carrie saying, we're in this season of our life. It's relatable. Now people are rooting for them. So when they see Eduardo, in the airport, they're going to say, we love you. We really appreciate the fact that you're honest. And, we can't wait to see you guys have some fun or whatever. And then they feel like, okay, everyone's rooting for us. They're behind us. We've got to stick this out.
All right, Kate. Well, thank you so much for joining us for this Real Housewives of Dallas recap. And let our listeners know again where they can find you.
So you can find me anywhere that you find podcasts. Go to Reality Life with Kate Casey. And I also have a great Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey. And we talk about all the shows. So like even outside of Bravo, if you're watching The Bachelor or Sister Wives, you just want to vent with somebody about 90 Day Fiancé, this is a group for you. And the thing that I will say is that it's a bunch of people who are really thoughtful and insightful and measured in the things that they talk about. And I think that I've done a nice job of setting the tone. So if you want to feel like you want to talk about shows and not feel like you're going to have somebody jump down your throat, it's the place for you.
That sounds great. All right. Well, thank you so much, Kate.
Thank you guys.
And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me.